guys, welcome back to the Angela Bless Show. And of course, I'm your host and your guest, Angela Bless. And welcome to Help Solve Me Unsolved Crimes. This is our 9th episode. This is a very new season to us. You can tune in to us every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Help Find Me is also our Missing Persons and Missing Children podcast. And this is our second season, Missing in Florida. We can tune into that on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Usually on Thursdays, we have the topics and the guests and so forth like that. So, guys, I pray that you've been productive like me. I pray that, you know, whatever situation you may be in, that you're not allowing the circumstances cause you to detour off your path. You know, God can do anything but fail you. Just know that. And just know that He is an on-time God. You know, it is well. I'm just going to say that. So today we're going to talk about Kurt Sova. As I'm saying his name right. Kurt Sova. S-O-V-A. I'm just going to jump right into it. Our website should be done. No, let me stop. Our website will be done at the end of this month. No ifs, ands, buts about it. It will be done at the end of this month. I promise you guys that. I promise myself that. Not you guys, but myself that. So, what happened? Hold on, guys. My screen froze up because I had the guy information. Okay. So, we're going to just jump right into our... unsolved case. Kurt Eugene Sova was 17 years old, was a 17-year-old high school student from, he was out of Ohio in the suburb of Cleveland, when he disappeared after a Halloween party in 1981 and turned up dead 5 days later. Prior to his death, Kurt was a typical high school boy, a good student, good son, good friend, the youngest of four boys. Kurt was close with his family. His mother reported that Kurt was never in any trouble, not with neighbors, nor in school, nor with police. Kurt's oldest brother, Kevin, described Kurt as a fun-loving, very fun, a comedian, loved doing sports. In another report, Kevin said Kurt might have been the most talented of them all. Good boy, amazing. On Friday, October 23rd, 1981, Kurt reportedly skipped school and hung out near a local liquor store until he convinced someone to buy him a bottle of Everclear, which he spent the day drinking at a friend's house before venturing out to attend a carnival. According to the friends and family, it was unusual for Kurt to drink a lot, so his behavior that day was out of ordinary. So that's crazy, right? If he was fun-loving, he loved school, he was a comedian. He had no signs of anything going on. His parents didn't see any signs. Why was he drinking? That's crazy, right? And he skipped school. On his way to the carnival, Kurt ran into his friend Samuel Carroll, who was heading to the Halloween party. Kurt decided to join Samuel and they attended the party at a duplex on Harvard Avenue, about 2 miles from the house where Kurt lived with his parents. Samuel claimed that Kurt became highly intoxicated and ill at the party, so the two of them went outside to get some fresh air. Because it was chilly outside, Sam decided to go back into the duplex to get their jackets and left Kurt by the fence on the property. When Sam came back outside 2 to 3 minutes later, Kurt was gone. Sam briefly looked around for Kurt in case Kurt had simply wandered away. But because such a short time had passed and there was no sign of Kurt, Sam assumed Kurt had gotten a ride home. Mm. So right here, they're saying that he was intoxicated. So if he drank all that alcohol that day and then went to a party to drink some more, Kurt would have been intoxicated. Meaning that either he wouldn't be able to walk. I'm sure someone saw something going on. He was throwing up. They didn't say he was causing a ruckus, causing trouble or anything, unless I read more. According to Kurt's mother, Dorothy, it was not like him to be gone overnight. It was not like him to stay out after 10 till 10:30 at the latest. When Kurt had not returned home by the next morning, his parents became worried and started calling around to his friends. and tried to locate him. When their calls didn't turn up, Kurt then began searching. I think that's his father. Turn up, Kurt. They began to search neighborhood for him. No available on Sunday, October 25th, is when there was still no sign of Kurt. Dorothy and Kurt's father, Ken, filed a missing person report with the Newbridge Heights Police. Kurt's family indicated that the local police did not take Kurt's disappearance very seriously and failed to do a thorough investigation. That were later supported when the police chief plead guilty to dereliction of duty related to allegation of gambling and corruption. Another police officer plead guilty in burglarizing suspects while he was already serving a prison term for a drug conviction. This is the second story I did. Oh my God, about these police officers. One of the stories I did about Unsung Crime is about the African-American guy that was on the borderline, I believe, of Georgia and Carolina or something like that. And they just threw that whole case up because one of the guys, the officer's a freaking predator. Now, let me get back to the story. This is crazy. The family continued on their own investigation, doing everything they could to find Kurt. Dorothy confronted the residents of the duplex where the party was held. At first, they denied having a party or seeing Kurt, but after a pizza delivery person confirmed the delivery a pizza to duplex during the party that Kurt disappeared, they changed their story and admitted to having a party and seeing Kurt in the attendance. While Kurt's family continued their search, the owner of the local shop where the family put up a missing person file approached by a mysterious man who claimed that the flyer was needed because Kurt would be found dead in a couple of days. Whoa. Police questioned him, but they ultimately decided he suffered from mental illness and wasn't responsible for Kurt's disappearance or a threat to the community, so they cleared him. Several days after Kurt went missing, one of the residents of duplex where the party was held notified Thursday that there was someone sleeping on a cot in the basement of the duplex, and it might be Kurt. While police and I investigated this lead, Kurt's father, Ken, went to the duplex and saw that someone had been staying in the basement, but they were no longer there, and Ken found no definite signs of Kurt. On October 28, 1981, three kids playing by the furniture warehouse came across a body in a ravine. That was only about 50 yards from the duplex where the party took place. When authorities arrived at the scene, they confirmed the body was that of the missing Kurt. He was found in shallow water, face down, wearing a bright yellow t-shirt and barefoot. His left shoe was discovered nearby, but his right shoe was never recovered. The chief deputy coroner performed an autopsy, but he was unable to determine the cause of death. The body has some minor scrapes and bruises, but there were no clear signs of trauma indicating foul play. And Kurt's bloody alcohol level was listed at 0.11, which by itself would not likely have been high enough to kill Kurt. The minor of the death was determined to be probable accident, but because Kurt's body was found in a ravine that has been searched less than a day early, the death considered suspicious. How? You guys searched that area and did not find him. Somebody obviously put his body there. Hello, ding, ding, ding. Kurt's family and law enforcement now believe that somebody who knew the area dumped Kurt's body in the ravine after searchers initially looked there. Number one, go back to the neighbor said that they thought Kurt was sleeping on the cot. If Kurt was being thrown up drunk or whatever, something happened to him. Somebody in that party put him there. And it could be the best friend. We don't know. But if his body wasn't there a couple days ago when you search it, somebody put his body there. Somebody close. Somebody knew that you probably wouldn't went back and search for it again. So I would check with the people that did the party. I would check with the guy again that claimed that in a couple days they're going to find his body dead. And they're going to find him dead. Wow. In 2019, nearly 4 years after Kurt's death, the Newbridge Heights Police Department reopened Kurt's case and partnered with Tiffany University students to re-investigate evidence in 2020. Kurt Casey was selected by Cry Solve, an exclusive event where true crime, and you know, they get, so that's when people, crime podcast detectives, and other people, they gather to examine the case files and explore new theories, while both efforts generated new ideas and some potential leads, the case remains unsolved. Anyone with information regarding Kurt's case should contact the Crime Stoppers, and the number is 216. That's the area code. Area code is 216-252-7463. Again, area code 216-252-7463. As of 2020, they were offering $5,000 reward for the information leading to the arrest in this case. The Newbridge Heights Police Department, you can reach them too at area code 216-641-2117, and so forth. So what happened was, I'm going to read, so I'm on the Uncover thing, and I love what some of these people talk and give their opinion what happened. When they continue to find no trace of Kurt, Dorothy and Ken call the police to register Kurt as a missing person. So this is just leading up to what I think happened. What I think happened was a homeless person sitting around, hanging around the Village Record Shop, sees Kurt's missing flyer, says to store manager Judy Corris, they're going to find him in 2 days, and they're not going to know what happened to him. So that's what he's saying, right? And then Debbie calls to say someone is sleeping in her basement, and it may be Kurt. And when Ken arrives, he can tell that someone had been sleeping there, but the person was gone. Kurt's body was found in Revere near GL Furniture Warehouse, 500 meters from the duplex where the party was. Hell, Ken had just searched that area, Ravine, 24 hours before the police, and Kurt was put there, according to the reports. So this is what I think happened. I think Kurt actually probably went back to the party. Possibly. Went back to the party. Went to the basement. Probably went to sleep. It probably was an altercation there. Something happened to the fact that he ended up in that ravine. Somebody put him there from that party, from that duplex. That's my assumption, my beliefs. I pray that this case gets solved, because this is a very sad case, and I'm sure that his loved ones are still alive, wanting to know what happens to their brothers, their son, and so forth. Maybe go back and re-interview that friend, the pizza man, the guy that said that he wasn't going to be alive in 2 days, and interview anyone that was at that party at the time. That's what I would do if they're still alive. But somebody saw something. Somebody knows something. Someone's always peeping. Someone's always watching. Even when you don't think there are, they is. They're watching. So anyone with any information on this case, please contact the number I gave to you guys earlier. I love you guys. I'm going to close this out. Continue to be blessed. Continue to be watchful of your surroundings. And anyone with social media that wants to make a difference in the world, please share cases, unsolved crimes, missing persons, missing children. You never know when you would need a help from media. Okay? Don't just wait on big media to do it, or the news and so forth. You do it. You take initiative to do the things. Okay? I love you guys. Continue to be blessed.